What's up, y'all? Peck here from CHGO Bulls. Our friends at Sunnyside Cannabis Dispensary are here to elevate your summer. Sunnyside is your home for judgment-free cannabis shopping. They've got a crazy selection with over 100 different strains to choose from with easy online ordering and in-store pickup. Stop in the store nearest you throughout Illinois for expert guidance from their staff. Head to sunnyside.shop and use code HICHGO at checkout for 35% off your favorite brands like Cresco, Good News, and Floracal to elevate your first purchase. Sunnyside Cannabis Dispensary, bright buys every day, only for 21 and over or Illinois med card holders.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hey, welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Happy Tuesday. Jay Zawoski with Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi. Law is here as well. Doing the things, tearing open the sacks.
Oh, boy.
Putting up the photos, all that great stuff. We've got a lot of show to do and not a lot of time to do it. So we're going to get right to it. Make sure you smash that like button for us on the YouTube page. Make sure you are subscribed as well. If you're a podcast listener, follow, subscribe. Please leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And it's a good idea for both sites, YouTube and your podcast app, to turn on those notifications. So as soon as a new episode goes live, you are notified, you are informed, and you don't miss it. We do them five times a week, so make sure you listen five times a week, at least once. Yeah, you could fall asleep to our show, too, if you want.
I do.
Yeah, just put on the
Right here in this chair.
I feel like right about now is when the show when I fall asleep, even when I'm driving home sometimes.
Pretty much.
All right, let's get to it. We got a lot of mailbag questions left. We appreciate everybody sending questions in, so we do our best to make sure if they took the time to send it, we take time to answer it, and we're going to do it right now. Let's start with Alberto, shall we?
Alberto Vitali says, I'm starting to think that Reichel and maybe even Bedard won't pan out as centers at the NHL level. How important is size at center? And would you invest in some players that fit that role at the draft this year?
I'm not ready to make the call that Bedard is not a center yet. He's 18. You know, I think that you see a lot of young centers struggle with the faceoffs and a two-way play, especially guys that didn't spend a lot of time in the American League, right? Like Connor Bedard came right from juniors, right to the NHL. His opening faceoff was against Sidney Crosby, and it didn't get much easier most nights for him. So Jonathan Toews is a good example of a guy who, with some time and some experience, got better at the faceoffs, and everything kind of came together at center. Yes, he is smaller than Jonathan Toews, and I do think, yes, if you had the choice, you would prefer someone big than small. But I think especially in today's league, it's not a problem if you're not big. I will say, though, I do hope that they do use a higher round pick to address some size down the middle. I think it's a good idea.
It doesn't hurt, that's for sure. For those that get worried about the size or lack thereof of some of the top prospects, just look at the size of the defensemen that are already here and are coming. They're all big. Mm. So while maybe your centers aren't the biggest in the world, your defensemen are pretty big. That helps. But yes, you should invest in some size down the middle if you get a chance. Connor Bedard, like Reichel as a center, yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see. I think he's better at wing just for his abilities. His speed is served better on the outside. As far as Bedard goes, you've got way too much time to figure that out. I know they play him at wing towards the end of the year. That was probably more of just a mental break than anything else.
Yeah.
There's one thing that Connor Bedard's going to do. It's going to be obsessively work at being a better overall player. Now that he's got one full season under his belt, you know, he knows what he's got to do as far as on the ice, off the ice. Same thing with Kevin Korchinski. Like, they got to play in the NHL as teenagers. They're still growing. They're still filling out their bodies. But now they have that knowledge of what can and, more importantly, what doesn't work at the NHL level, and yep. they can adjust from that. I guarantee you, Connor Bedard knows he was a minus 44 this year.
And it pisses him off. Very aware of it. Yeah, of course.
And it pisses him off. And he's going to do everything he can to improve on that. Is he going to be Jonathan Toews in year two? No. Is he ever going to be Jonathan Toews? Probably not. But if you can get him to be a...
Defensively, anyway.
Right. If you could get him to be replacement level defensively and all world offensively, you got yourself one hell of a hockey player. And if he doesn't work at its center, and Lucas Reichel isn't a center, and Frank Nazar isn't a center, and Oliver Moore can't play center, well, guess what? You go out and get yourself a center. Right. That's where you make your trades. That's where you hit the free agent market. That's why people that want the Blackhawks go on this spending spree this summer, it's just not the time.
Yeah.
You save
see what you have first.
You save that for 25, 26 when you know for sure, like, shit, we really need a second line center. Then you go out and you get one. You don't do it now. You don't waste all your salary cap money now. So when you really do have that need, you can't go get the best available player.
I think a lot of this is stemming from the fact that Bedard is not playing center at the World Championships. And people are seeing it as like, well, Team Canada doesn't think he's a center, so...
Well, their center depth was a wee bit better than the Blackhawks.
Yeah, a little bit.
Fifth goal... just now.
What? Only five goals in three games?
Third game World Championships as a wing. Look, if Connor Bedard is a winger, that's fine. Go be the best winger that this team has ever seen.
Yeah.
I think that's okay. I think you're spot on, Greg, where, you know, if none of these players that you've drafted to be centers pan out to be top six centers, go buy yourself
one. Go get one.
Go trade one of your first round picks and whatever to go get a top six center. You can go find them.
That's what free agency should be.
Yeah.
Is getting that final need. Not you don't build your team through free agency or trades. You get the final piece, i.e. a Marian Hossa with the free agency.
And if Bedard can play center, which I think he still has the ability to do, wonderful. Like, he'll be just fine wherever he plays. Like, he's going to be able to produce and adapt his game wherever he goes. With Lucas Reichel, if he's a wing, also fine. Like, there's a lot of guys that when you draft them as centers or they play center in juniors, pan out to not be centers in the NHL. Like, I think it's a special case or a... You have to either have a special talent or a special skill set for a player to be a center when they're 17 to when they're 30 at the all through their development. Like, if you're a center, like, that's a special case. Not everyone can do that. So if Reichel can produce as a wing, that's going to be fine. Like, I have no doubts that this team, either through drafting or free agency or trades, they know that the center depth is a lot of the guys that do the same things. They'll be able to figure out how to fill it with guys that can do something a little bit different to set. Yeah,
and just to reiterate Greg's point too, you don't need Connor Bedard to be Toews, Kopitar, Bergeron. You need him to do the job well and not hurt you defensively. And look, I think we saw, even as the end of the season came, he elevated his game defensively a little bit, right? Like, you saw him playing in all ends, stealing pucks, creating turnovers. Like, again, he's never going to win the Selke. That's very, very unlikely.
Ooh.
But it's okay.
That's
it doesn't have to be that.
A declaration to make for an 18-year-old.
If he's putting up 130 points, I can live without the Selke.
Right. If he's 100, and if he's putting up 130 points and is only a minus five, that's pretty good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sure.
Like, he doesn't need to be shut down defensive. That's not what he was drafted for. Just be replacement level defensive, and I'll be happy.
Like, I'm not saying Bedard is going to top out as this player, but Mark Scheifele's had a pretty good career as not being a defensive center. Like, he's been able to do it because he can put up points and win enough faceoffs. Like, there are tons of centers that play top six, top line roles that are not two-way stalwarts.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty confident saying that Lucas Reichel is not a center, at least for Luke Richardson.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, he just doesn't...
Let's not do... with Lucas Reichel what happened with Kirby Dach, where it was you must be a center because you fit the mold of being a center. Like, no. Like, he let the guy figure out where his skill set is positioned best. If it's at left or right or center, it'll figure it out. I don't think it's at center. So let him. He's also playing on the wing for Germany. So yeah. That's if he's a wing, that's fine.
Yeah. All right.
And the Scoop 36 is in our chats. And hey, guys, I'm Alberto. Thanks for answering my question. You got it,
no
Scoop.
Problem. Scoop.
Let's go.
Scoop 36.
Send another one in next week. All right. Let's. Ooh. Yes. Let's see here. Let's go to. How about this one? From David Garcia.
Jerry's brother.
Yeah. If you guys had the chance to work for or cover a different NHL team, what team and why?
That's a good question.
I'm going by market here. That's my where would I like to live is kind of how
Vegas,
I'm looking
baby.
At
Vegas, baby.
Is there a team in San Diego?
Yeah, Vegas. San Diego Goals.
The Goals. Let's cover the Goals.
No money in the AHL. I already know that. There's barely any money in the NHL.
I would move to Denver. I'd cover the Avalanche. I could do that.
When you get bored with all that winning?
I get tired of it after a while.
Get tired after it. Boy, some people probably regret saying that.
Yeah, I would think so.
More on that later.
By the way, our DNVR Avalanche show had Wayne Gretzky
yeah,
today.
Yeah, how about that?
So go check that out when we're done.
It'd be really cool if they shared his contact information.
It's probably good.
999
in the old Slack channel. That'd
yeah,
be nice.
that'd be all right. man, that's a tough question. There are
we're talking NHL?
Yeah.
Not just any team?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd cover the Rangers, and I know Greg hates that, but I'd cover the New York Rangers.
Yeah,
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
New York can be miserable.
That's fine.
Enjoy your $7,000 a month closet.
Cozy.
Yeah. Let's see. Who would I cover? That's a really good question.
How about Vancouver? I'd like to live in Vancouver.
Oh, Vancouver wouldn't suck. One. Seattle wouldn't suck. I think Seattle would be a nice town to live in.
L.A.
San Jose.
San Jose wouldn't be bad. Northern California is nice. Not L.A. There's some good choices out there. I think if I had to settle, though, I'm thinking covering a successful team in Raleigh, North Carolina probably wouldn't be
that
too
wouldn't
much
be terrible.
Fun. Because that's be a terrible. Nice area of the country. You're close to a lot of things. It's warmish there most of the year. It doesn't get super cold. You got an exciting team. I mean, there's worse coaches to cover every day than Rod Brendamore.
Yeah. And your vote would matter more.
Sure.
Keep trying to convince my wife that someday need to move to Wisconsin or Michigan.
Michael Evans says Florida or Dallas. It's just full of too many people from Florida and Texas. I don't know if I'd be able to do that.
You're right. There are too many people in Florida and Texas or Florida and Dallas.
Yeah, they're just too many.
Utah.
Have fun.
Yeah. See Salt Lake City.
I've been there once. It was okay. It was nice. It was big lake and fairly nice. I mean, it was 20-something years ago.
Yeah.
But, Salt Lake City.
I think Denver is my answer right now.
What about Minnesota? Cover the mild.
Too cold.
No.
Too cold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Covering the same team every year for 40 years.
No, I don't think I could do the Minnesota winters every winter. That's just too much.
That's winter. There are no Minnesota winters. Just to clarify what Greg was saying. But if you want to be a winner, we've got the spot for you to do it. Circa Sportsbook with those tight money line splits and their low hold models. At Circa, their games strive to be a -110 split on the Circa Sports menu, unlike other sports books, which may use -115 or -120 splits. That's no good. Circa Sports keeps as little money as possible on large markets bets like futures and golf tournaments, especially when compared to other sports books. They have high app limits and transparency. What I like too, well, not that this really impacts me, but Circus Sports does not limit players based on their winnings. So every player has the same limits, unlike other books that will limit winning players. Circa encourages bettors to download and explore all the sports betting apps available and compare the lines from each sports book, and they're pretty confident that you'll be using Circa more often than not. There's real people behind the Circa Sports brand, and they'll help you resolve your issues in a timely fashion, unlike other books that use those evil, cursed chatbots.
Boom.
All aspects of the Circa app are being run by the same team that runs the main Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. So download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Also, be on the lookout
for circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. They're with us all Cubs Friday 120 Club events. And if you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or text GAMB to 833-234. Or you can also visit areyoureallywinning.com.
I made a bad decision to not bet the Hurricanes last night when they went down 1-0. I thought about it. I'm like, I think they're going to win tonight. And then I didn't bet it.
You blew it. You suck.
You have little faith.
I know. I just didn't pull the trigger. Anyways.
I remember that when I'm covering them in 5 years. Hey, this May, our number one draft pick for all things Chryslers, Dodges, Jeeps, and Rams. Got to use the plural. Has got to be Ray Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram in Fox Lake. And right now, it's the season. That's what it says. Which means not only is May the time you find your next vehicle, but you can score huge savings too. I think there's a missing word there. For a limited time, lease the new 2024 Ram 1500 Big Horn Crew Cab. Always wanted a Big Horn. $419 a month. Or shop over 125 vehicles priced under $20,000. Let the amazing team at Ray Chrysler Jeep and
Ram
help you land the perfect vehicle at the perfect price, because the Ray's price promise, the numbers you're hearing now, are the same prices you can expect to shop in-store and online. That's because Ray's price promise means no price changing, no add-ons, no hidden fees, none of those shenanigans that all those other dealers try to pull on you. Prioritize affordability to their customers, hurry into Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram
today and shop one of Chicago's largest inventories, then drive home with more money in your pocket than you expect. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, then you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram,
because they're the only team we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, check out RayCDJR.com, serving the community since 1963.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Well done.
Yes.
Yes.
Go get yourself
a
big horn.
There's a missing word. That's,
yeah, I'm going to forward that along to the correct people.
All right. Let's get back to Mailbag Monday on a Tuesday. All right. We got some questions about other players on other teams. And, of course, let's start with this one from Incognitus McMuffin.
I had one of those for breakfast.
Yeah. Why are people mock trading Seth Jones and draft picks for Mitch Marner when it doesn't make sense for either team?
Welcome to the internet, Incognitus McMuffin, because people like to do silly things.
It's called SEO, search engine optimization, and when you put two big names in the headline, you're going to get more clicks.
Who would ever do that?
Well, we do it here, but, you know, we don't do it to trick you. But, I mean, honestly, like, so here's the reality is these people like, Shane O'Brien yesterday?
Yeah.
Who is like, oh, yeah, that should be, he's doing the NHL 24 trade. Well, you know, you got to make salary work, and Seth Jones makes a lot of money, and the Leafs need a defenseman, so Seth Jones for Mitch Marner, and then throw in Nick Foligno in a first. It's like, you're just playing pretend.
No.
It's just pretend.
That's almost as bad as the Connor Murphy and Lucas Reichel for Mitch Marner trade.
Yes.
Like, it's not, that's so
we'll give you
lopsided.
Five bad players for a superstar, but you get five.
Right.
You know, that's how it works, and that's what we said on yesterday's show was, when you come up with these things, think about, why would the other team do this? Mm-hmm. What is in this for the other team? Or does it work financially for both teams involved? The answer is no for the Leafs. That would be taking on more salary when they're trying to get rid of salary. So, no. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay, fine. Let's move on to this one from Colin, who's at HockeyFan98. Kyle Davidson said the goaltending situation needs to be improved next year, sans Mrazek. What are your thoughts about trying to get Linus Ullmark from Boston?
It's Linus.
Linus Linus.
Rhymes with meanest.
Yes. Okay.
And nothing else.
Sorry, I was thinking of the Peanuts gang. It's no secret Boston has talked about moving on from him. Could this be an option? What would a trade look like for him?
You're going to have to give up the farm for Linus Ullmark.
The farm?
I don't know if you have to give up a ton. But, I mean, you're going to have to give up a lot, but it's only 1 year. And what does Linus Ullmark for 1 year really get you? A whole lot of nothing.
Well,
not
I
much.
Mean,
you have Mrazek on a 2 year deal. You have Drew Comezzo coming up from Rockford, probably within that 2-year time frame that you have Mrazek. You could bring in Jackson Staubber, keep him in the mix. He's an RFA this year. You have Adam Guyon that you're waiting on. He's going to be, some years away. I don't think for 1 year at what will be 31 years old, I don't think you really need to give up anything to get Linus Ullmark, because I don't think it does anything. He also has a modified no trade list. So
it doesn't make sense for Linus Ullmark to come to Chicago for a year either.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen, goaltending right now is the least of the Blackhawks' problems. I know Soderblom was a huge disappointment last season. I know there's zero trust in him, definitely in the fan base. I'm not sure how much the team itself trusts him. We'll find out. You can go out and get a veteran backup. You can give the backup job to Jackson Staubber next year. I'm not 100% convinced the organization is super high on Jackson Staubber. He had that great winning streak, franchise record winning streak down the stretch, played well. But in the playoffs, Drew Comezzo started three of the four playoff games. So what does that tell you? That tells you the organization is definitely higher on Drew Comezzo, but that doesn't mean Staubber can't come back and compete for the backup job, because they don't want Comezzo to come up next year to be the backup. They want him to play another full season if possible.
Yeah.
Do you roll the dice and hope Soderblom figures it out and gets better? He showed some signs of improvement later in the year.
And, let's not dismiss not this past year, but the year before, where he was pretty decent. We all thought coming into this year, and when I say we all, I mean we all, people watching this show that were with us all that time, yeah, we believe at some point he's going to overtake Mrazek. That was a thought that we all, for the most part, shared together.
Mm-hmm. We all.
We all. Right. We all.
But next year, yes, they want to be improved. Yes, they want to win more games. But as far as the long-term success of this team goes, the goaltending is the final piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. They want to be set up front. They want to be set defensively. Hopefully when all that happens, Drew Comezzo is here. He's your guy. And if not, Guyon is a year or two behind and he's your guy. And if not, you go get a goalie.
Yeah. And look, if Comezzo is not showing signs of development next year, and they're like, oh, we kind of got to worry about this as you start to, look, the way that Kyle Davidson talked when the season ended was they expect to be in the mix for playoff positioning, maybe not make the playoffs next year, but at least in the conversation up to close to the end of the year. So in 2 years, you would think the expectation would be really compete for playoff spot / potentially make the playoffs as a wild card team. At that point, you kind of need to start getting an answer and goal. And I don't know if you have another 2 years after that to wait for Guyon to figure it out, but that's when you can go sign a guy, trade for a guy. I like Ullmark a lot. Sure, if they want to get him for a year, I just don't know what it accomplishes, and I don't know why he says, yes, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I think we were sort of saying about, bringing in a big free agent forward right now, why not wait and see what we have first? Right, let's wait and see what Nazar and Moore and Bedard and Reichel and all these young, and whoever they maybe it's Demidov this year, see what they turn into, and then you kind of establish, okay, summer of 25, this is what we need, and maybe at that point they feel goalie's one of them because Comezzo hasn't taken a step. I don't know. I just think this is another year. While I think they're going to be stronger and better and more competitive, they're still in a rebuild year. It's just kind of the end phases of the rebuild here. It's the last year or two where you'd still call it a rebuild. I think they're still in the evaluation stage.
Yeah, and when what does that really do for Peter Mrazek, where you're like, hey, we believe in you. We want you to be our guy for the next two seasons. Here's his contract extension, and oh, never mind. Linus Ullmark, we traded for him. You're now the backup.
Yeah.
That's kind of a, you would do that if the goal was to make the playoffs this year, but that's not the goal. The goal is just to be better, more improved, playing meaningful games down the stretch. Maybe you – you know, you squint your eyes in you squint your eyes in March or even February, and you're like, man, if they get hot and three teams go completely cold, maybe you can make a wild card run here.
Happened.
But you just you don't want to be a bottom feeder next year, but you're still not ready to say, hey, it's playoffs or bust this season.
Oh,
so,
yeah, no.
You know, not. If you didn't have Comezzo in Rockford who played really well this season, then maybe goaltending is more of a worry. But, you know, the plan, hopefully, you know, in a best-case scenario, Comezzo plays another season in Rockford, is really good, improves upon his already really good rookie numbers, and then the following season, Mrazek and Comezzo become that 1A, 1B that you thought you were going to have with him and Soderblom this year, and then he takes over the reins and he's your goalie of the future.
Yeah. I would not be – Rick89 says, let Soderblom play in Europe and add a free agent backup. It would not shock me if they sign a veteran free agent backup.
At least have some competition in camp.
Yeah.
Bring in a guy on a PTO, see what happens.
That's a good idea.
There's a guy that is hitting free agency that I think would make a lot of sense. He's not going to be expensive. He's going to push – he would push Soderblom out of the way, Alex Nedeljkovic. I think he's a guy who has started a lot of NHL games. He's proven that he can be competent at the NHL level. He's not going to cost you anything except money. So going out and getting a Linus Allmark is going to cost you much more than money. So I think if you're trying to improve the goaltending without sending a message that we are that the team would be taking away anything from Peter Mrazek, would be, to me, I would say is Nedeljkovic.
Nedeljkovic is a good – he's an upgrade. If you want to go the veteran route, I wouldn't be mad at bringing back Antti Raanta for a year as your backup. I know his health issues are not great, but if he's only going to be coming here to play 35 games, you could live with that.
And he is a guy who has spent time in the AHL and has seemingly did not complain or bitch about it. So if it works out where someone laps him or whatever, or he's not working out, you could send him down and figure it out from there.
Either
they have options.
Yeah, don't be surprised to see a veteran goalie on a PTO and training camp. I think they're going to bring someone in to push Soderblom instead of just like this past season where like, hey, it's your job. Won a lot of pressure there. He never really felt any pressure. Even when he was awful, there was nobody coming up behind him ready to take his job.
Yeah, it just meant he would play less.
Yeah, and, you know, get somebody here that can pressure him, see what happens. Maybe it makes him a better goalie, and if not, you've got an upgrade right there already.
Am I the only one with a little bit of an itch in my head that's like, maybe this year with Mrazek was an anomaly and he's going to be not great for the next 2 years? I don't know.
He was healthy. That was the difference.
Yeah.
It was the first time in a long time he's been healthy. So if he remains healthy, I think he'll be fine.
He was playing to prove something too.
Yeah,
like he had two sub 900 save percentage years back to back. You know, was out of, you know, sent out of town, given up a first round pick just to get rid of from Toronto, and coming into this year he was in a contract year, so he was out to prove something, and he proved it, and his play after getting the contract extension did not drop off. It wasn't like, all right, well, I got my you know, a little bit of security, I got my, you know, the deal I was looking for. Like he was still solid throughout the season. So I mean, yeah, health is the biggest question, but I mean, if that remains, I have no reason to feel like he's just gonna fall back off a cliff or anything like that. I think there's, you know, with the way he played and with the expectation that this team is going to do things to improve, I would like to think it's gonna at worst be the same. That's what I would feel like is the expectation for Mrazek going into next year.
We'll see.
All right, building off of the goalie conversation, Raphael said, it's pretty clear Soderblom is not ready. Would you guys give Jackson Staber the backup goalie position next season? He was really solid this year for the Ice Hawks.
I'm not giving anybody the goalie position. Someone's got to earn it.
Yeah.
So as we just said, bring in a veteran in camp. Let Staber let this, the veteran, let Comezzo, let them all try and figure, and you take the best one. Nobody's going to get be given. We gave, or not we, the Blackhawks pretty much gave the backup goalie position to Soderblom last year, and that didn't work out very well. You know, Stauber, maybe. I mean, he's an RFA.
Yeah, you got to bring him back.
You got to re-sign him. I think the way he played down the stretch with that 13-game winning streak, you kind of have to bring him back, I think, at that point. Like, regardless if you're high on him or not. You know, I think Stauber won a lot of games, but it took him, like, 12 wins in a row to get his save percentage over 900. So he was a guy that early in the year won a lot of 5-4 games, 6-5 games, but then got better as the year went on. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know if he's a long-term NHL solution, but if he's your best backup goalie candidate in September and October, then yes. If he earns the job, give it to him.
Yeah. I do think he deserves a chance, though, because he didn't get one this year, despite how well he played in Rockford.
Right.
Stauber. So I would like to see him get some kind of a look.
Yeah.
And Bijan asks, what happened to Dominic Bassi? Hey, there's a name. Former sixth-round pick, I want to say 2019. He is in the transfer portal in the NCAA. He played at St. Cloud State last year. He's going for his fifth year of eligibility. So that's that. Hey, if you're looking for some delicious pizza,
what?
As we all are, why not stop by Salerno's on Tap, located at 1201 West Grand Avenue in Chicago's West Town, and enjoy their tavern-style pizza and ice-cold beers, namely their ice-cold Coors Lights. Whether you are headed to the game, want to watch it on their big screen TVs, or are watching it from home, they've got you covered. Go to salernospizza.com or call 312-666-3444. And when you mention CHGO, you get half off of your pizza order. Again, head to salernospizza.com or call them at 312-666-3444 for more information. And of course, mention CHGO, get half off of your pizza order.
Try the wings.
Salerno's is delicious.
Yes. And as Mario mentioned, when you're at Salerno's, you're going to want to order a Coors Light because nothing is better than beer and pizza. It's just the combination created for each other. Sit down at Salerno's, crack open that Coors Light, chill out, and watch the playoffs on their many, many TVs. It's a great opportunity to choose chill with Coors Light. That's what we do because it's Mountain Cold Refreshment. I know we had some bad weather yesterday. People probably had some grilling plans. It got canceled. Well, you know, use the air fryer. Throw some tendies in there.
Chill out, man.
You can still get that chill mindset with your Coors Light. It's the perfect beer for that. And when those mountains turn blue, you know it's as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold baked for a smoother finish. When you embrace a chill mindset, be it in your backyard, be it at Salerno's, be it on your couch, it's a good time to choose chill and crack open a Coors Light. Coors Light is mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, not the baseball team. Make the most out of the times you choose to chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door right now. Now, like this moment with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. That's CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, my future home.
The math isn't mathing. I want more likes.
Oh, yeah.
I need some thumbs.
Yeah, come on. What are we at here? The beer sign is reflecting poorly, and I can't see the screen very well.
51 likes.
That's not enough.
No.
That's not enough likes.
Way more people watching than liking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
165 watching, only 51 likes.
Please and thank you.
It's shameful.
Takes 2 seconds.
Shameful is what it is.
Each like improves the draft position of the Blackhawks' 20th overall pick.
Yes.
So...
Yeah,
enough likes
sure.
And it'll go to number one.
It will make whoever you like at 3 or 4 fall to 20.
Yep. Every like makes Connor Bedard a better NHL center.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's get back to the sack full of mail. And it's a name that we hear a lot about.
TR. Okay. Take your shirt off. And
which one of
get
us?
A like. I don't know.
Wrong. Video stream.
If we get 500 likes, I'll take my shirt off.
500 likes.
500. When I get home.
Okay. When I get home. All right, White Lion Fan Club.
Hell yeah. When the children cry, baby.
I know the Hawks organization is ass deep in D-men.
Ass.
So why do I want them to sign Montour?
To get better defensively.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I too would not mind Brandon Montour. I think that is a upgrade defensively. I think you can solidify your top four and maybe bump Connor Murphy down to a third pairing role, which I think
suddenly
would
your team's better.
Take yeah. I mean, it makes your team better. So, yeah, Brandon Montour, if he's in the market and he wants to be a part of getting Chicago back to its glory days, come on down.
I think I'll just say this. The biggest contract the Hawks sign this summer will be for a defenseman. I think that they're going to bring in some forwards to help with the depth, but I think they're going to go get not a superstar defenseman, but someone in the $4 to $6.5 million range of a defenseman.
Yeah, they want. I think they want a guy to be for Kevin Korchinski what Seth Jones was for Alex Vlasic
yes.
this past year, a solid, reliable guy that is going to take him under his wing and kind of be a coach on the ice, as well as just being a really good defensive partner to allow Korchinski to feel more confident out there and more, you know, he knew, I think, part of the most of the season last year, Korchinski probably felt, man, if I let this guy get behind me, we're screwed because
yes.
there's no way Jared Tenorti or Jacob Megna are getting over to help me. So if you have yeah. a guy that gives him more confident, maybe he becomes more aggressive offensively, which is why you drafted him.
Right.
So Chris Tanev is good. Brandon Montour wouldn't hate it.
Montour also like right-handed, 30 years old, coming off a $3.5 million
yeah,
contract.
But he's 30. He might be looking to get that long-term
I would
big
think
contract.
So.
That might be a tough sell.
I'd give him 4 years. I would give him 4 years.
But I do think they want to kind of bump Connor Murphy. I don't think they view him as reliable as he once was.
Well, he's
when
not.
When he's on the ice and healthy, it's he.
Right.
You could do a lot worse than him. The problem is, what's his health status going to be?
It's been something since he's gotten here. Like, his style of play makes him more susceptible to injuries to begin with, but he's getting older. He's had, you know, he had that groin issue last year. He's had back problems in the past. Like,
backs and groins don't really get better either.
Not in this sport. No.
Groin's a little more, but backs are...
You need both of those to be good at your job. And
usually.
I mean, yeah, a bad back for a hockey player is especially a defenseman, is not something you want to... Unless you're Jake McCabe, who can have back surgery and come back like 3 days later and still kill people, but
he's a cyborg.
Right. He's
yeah.
he's more machine than man.
Yeah.
I think they kind of want to put Connor Murphy into that third pairing role where, hey, if he plays 75 games down there and helps another young defenseman, awesome.
Yep.
But they don't want to, I think they want someone that they feel that they know will be there for the majority of the games. You don't know that with Connor Murphy now.
Vlasic, Jones, Korchinski, Montour, Del Mastro, Murphy.
That's pretty good defensive core right there.
I like that defensive
group.
That's a
huge upgrade from what we had to watch the last few weeks of the season last year. Huge.
How long are you willing to go with a 30-year-old defenseman?
6 years?
5 years.
You go six for Brandon Montour?
Five. I say five.
I'd give him a six. I mean,
I think with the
36-year-old defenseman, I mean, he's not – doesn't have like a – I don't think he has a major injury history. I don't know. I haven't followed his career that long.
What's wrong with you?
But, you know.
5 years for me gets him off the books before Vlasic needs a new contract.
Last three seasons.
That is going to be a big deal.
So he played 81 in 2021-22, 80 in 2022-23, and 66 regular season games this year. So I think he's relatively healthy for a defenseman that plays that style.
He missed parts of the beginning of the season this year. Maybe off-season surgery caused him to, I think, was his deal. But, I mean, for you just said in general a 30-year defenseman, you know, I would go as high as six if it was a guy I really wanted to get. If it came down to, you know, 5-year deal, he may go elsewhere. 6-year deal locks him, guarantees he comes here. I would go six for a 30-year-old defenseman.
Would you rather give him longer or give him shorter, more money?
I'd rather give him shorter, more money.
Yeah, because that could be the, like, if they don't want to give him six, you can give him four and another $1.5 million than anybody else can. But then you've got Bedard, Nazar, Korchinski, all coming off the books with him with a year left on that deal.
I don't think it's going to really make that much of an issue.
I don't think so either. I mean, you're going to pay him, what, six? It's not the end of the world.
No, it's not going to kill you. You know, you get creative with these things. I trust Kyle Davidson's handling of the salary cap. Even though we don't have a ton of evidence that he's going to be great at it or bad at it.
We don't know.
I mean, the Alex Vlasic deal tells you that, hey, okay, that's a pretty good start.
The Reichel deal is pretty good.
I trust him to handle the salary cap better than the last guy.
Well,
yes, I agree.
So, and the cap should be going up as well.
By the way, you were right on Montour. Missed the first 16 games of the season after shoulder surgery.
Right.
And then, so he played every other game.
He played every game since he came back.
So he's not a.
So 3 years of
health.
He's
reliable.
Aside from the 16.
Yeah. He's reliable. So.
Yeah.
He's definitely a guy I would consider.
And Bijan asked in the chat, how much do you think it would take to get Tanev to sign? $4 million? He makes 1.125 right now.
You watching what he's doing right now?
He's making himself a ton of money right now. I think four and a half, five gets it done with him, I would think. He's old, though.
Yeah, like,
that's a guy you give a lot of money in short term.
That's a two-year deal.
Yeah,
I'd give him two-year, $10 million total, $11 million.
Sure.
If it takes takes that extra $500,000 to get him here.
Thing is, with Tandev and with Montour, is those guys are leaving teams that look like they're on their way to conference final appearances. You know, not to jinx any of them, but are they going to want to leave that kind of culture to come here and be like, hey, we might maybe in your time here be kind of okay?
That's where the extra where the extra million or $2 million comes.
And you hope that Dallas or Florida wins the cup and one of those two guys, for Jason Cullimore. We'll never speak that name again.
Boy.
Unless his card comes up on
it might.
Yeah, right.
Got a big stack of cards, by the way, from Charlie today.
Nice.
Good stack. It's a crop.
Very upset I missed Charlie.
He didn't bring, all he brought was the, not all, he brought some jalapeno mango bacon dip.
Nice.
Very, very good.
Bacon jam.
Bacon jam. Very good.
Yeah. Let's keep the questions rolling about defensemen. This is from Jay at Arcade Hawk. In your opinions, how important is it to have a number one defenseman who is good at everything versus having good balanced pairings and power play / penalty kill specialists? Is Levshunov worth taking over Demidov if you already have Korchinski for power plays and Vlasic and possibly Del Mastro for penalty kills?
I think what defines a number one defenseman is a defenseman that's good at everything.
Yeah. If you have a guy that can play 25-plus minutes a night and be on the power play and kill penalties, that's rare to find in the league that there's that many guys that do it, and the teams that play deep into the postseason historically have a guy like that.
That's why I'm still leaning Demidov in the draft, but if they take Levshunov, I'm perfectly happy with that.
There's no losing between those two picks.
No. I mean, it's... Yes, I that is very tempting, and I do think there's more offense to Vlasic's game than he's shown. I don't know if I would put him up there in, like, the 50-60 point range, which you'd probably talk about for a number one, but...
No, I wouldn't say that.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of ways to do it, right? If you've got six defensemen that are really good and two are offensive and four are shutdown D, cool. Because you could throw Connor Bedard on the point or throw Demidov on a point if that's the pick.
Yeah.
Patrick Kane played the point for years. Like, there's ways to adjust and adapt to what you have and what you need. But ideally, yes, of course, you want Victor Hedman to be on your team for the next 20 years. That would be wonderful.
But there's not too many of him.
Right.
Yeah. I agree.
All right, let's finish up the mailbag questions with this one from Joe, comma, pizza lover, comma, Bears fan, Joe. Hawks fan is my guess. Who from the Ice Hogs has the best chance to make opening night roster this year?
Lucas Reichel.
On the Hawks.
Who that played the majority in Rockford last season?
I think it's Doc.
I'm going to go with Ethan Del Mastro.
Yeah, Del Mastro or Kaiser are probably going to get...
Kaiser played the majority last year in Rockford?
I think he had more games in Rockford than the Blackhawks. Yeah. Kaiser did at this point.
It would have been close.
I think he only had 20-something games in the Chicago. And
32 in Chicago, 37 in Rockford. Yeah, so that counts.
But Del Mastro, I think, is going to be given every chance to make this team.
Yeah.
As far as forwards who played down there, I mean...
It's really Doc, just feels like it's Doc.
Probably. Yeah. I mean... I'm a big Ryder Ralston fan, but I don't think he's NHL ready yet.
He was not getting ice time in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite there yet. He needs at least another AHL year, and maybe the NHL isn't in his future, but you never know. He's still young. Other than that, I mean, Doc, out of the prospects that were down there, mm-hmm. There's still, there were more prospects in Rockford this past season than the previous year when it was basically just, what did Lucas Reichel do tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There still wasn't a ton, but there'll be even more next season. I would say out of the full-timers, Del Mastro is the guy. Maybe Nolan Allen. Luke Richardson was a big fan of him last.
I think the offseason dictates a lot of that, too.
But he got hurt. Yeah. At the end of the year, missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Would have loved to have seen Nolan Allen play in the playoffs. That would have been nice.
Because if they sign somebody, there's not a lot of spots left.
Defensively, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You'll need a sixth defenseman.
Yeah.
And somebody to be the seventh if you want to.
You got Vlasic, you got Korchinski, you got Murphy, you got Jones.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, so you bring in a guy to do second pairing, and then you... You know, you set up a rotation of Del Mastro, Kaiser to play with Murphy.
I feel like with those guys, though, you don't want them sitting. Like, you'd want one of them playing regularly in Rockford, one of them playing regularly in Chicago, whoever it is.
You probably then want to bring in another veteran that you're okay sitting 12 games in a row.
Yeah.
Don't say it.
I'm getting worried.
Don't say it. The Nikita Zaitsev wasn't that bad.
That's not who I'm talking about. who I'm talking about.
Don't say it.
Luke really likes him.
Don't put it in the universe. No. Shut your filthy mouth.
No.
Don't put
the problem.
It in,
see,
no,
the problem.
Stop.
If that happens, I don't trust Luke to keep him out of the
That's
lineup.
Why Kyle. Don't do it.
Yes, exactly. Protect Luke from himself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Luke out there for 30 games next year.
If Luke Richardson's favorite player is detrimental to your team, tell Luke Richardson's favorite player to get lost.
Look, buddy, we know you like the guy, but no.
Yeah.
No. So, no. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
But the point remains, though. You probably don't want Kaiser and Del Mastro with one of them sitting. It's different if it's Isaac Phillips or Louis Crevier, who you've already kind of said, like, all right, well.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's one of those guys. I know, what, Crevier maybe. Needs a new contract. They both need new contracts, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both Harveys.
Yeah. But, choose one of those two and have them be your seventh. Okay. I don't think they're worried about stunting Isaac Phillips. But for 22 years old, why not sign him for a few more years? And maybe he does take a step playing with... Brandon Montour or Chris Tanev or just being around guys like that, learning the game, learning how to do it. I don't know.
You know who's a free agent this year that could be a great rotational seventh defenseman?
Caleb Jones.
Brent Seabrook.
Yeah. He's out there.
Nah, I'm just kidding. Who's like a seventh defenseman that is a free agent this year?
I would have zero issue if they brought back Nikita Zaitsev on a cheap one-year deal with him knowing that you're the seventh guy.
Right.
To play 40 games.
Oh, a promotion, eh?
Yeah. You're already here.
Do you want 900-year-old Alec Martinez?
No. He's a guy that if he's here, he's probably should be playing.
I'm just going down this list. Nikita Zadorov's a free agent. He's going to make some money this summer.
He's going to get a general manager fired.
Yes, he is.
He's going to get a GM fired. Yes,
he is.
He will make money. Yes. Man. It's not a lot of
this list is not super appealing.
Options.
Yeah.
You want Oliver Ekman Larson?
No.
I mean, for
33 years old?
For $1.5 million? Sure. For 1 year?
He's going to play, though, if he's here.
How about
Riley Stillman? Get him back.
Take you know that, what? Vancouver. It does. I mean, for a veteran guy who might like accept the role of like seventh defenseman and be that like potentially could be that good locker room presence. If he's going to play another year, do you look at Mark Giordano?
Maybe. I thought you were going to say Jack Johnson for a second.
No. He loves Colorado, and Colorado loves him too much, apparently.
Me? Well, the Stanley Cup magic has been
It is
tarnished.
Wearing off.
Mark Giordano. 40 years old already.
I know. I'm just saying, though, like if he's a guy that is going to be available, wants to continue to play, and maybe you give him that extra couple hundred thousand to say, hey, we know you might not be cup chasing here, but...
Well, and we'll do our best to help you out at the deadline.
Sure, yeah.
If something comes up, we'll do our best to put you where you want to be.
You could do worse.
I'd prefer Mark Salerno.
Mark Schlereth?
No, Mark Salerno.
Oh, Mark. Yeah.
Instead of Mark Giordano.
Got it.
Yeah. What's I like Pete Malnati doing these days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, sack.
It'll be interesting.
Empty sack.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped. Streaming June 4th. Only on Hulu.
Well, we got a super chat.
Oh, there you go.
From
perfect
Thomas.
Timing. Super chat. Thomas Salata says...
All right. Thomas, $4.99. Do you see RGM doing paper transactions at the trade deadline for Nazer or Slagert so that they could be Rockford eligible and gain playoff experience?
Yeah, probably.
Yep. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. See if they're not already on that roster.
Yeah. I mean, you might. I wouldn't be surprised if either of those guys are play some games for Rockford at some point of the year, either beginning of the season or, you know, you need a couple weeks to reset. It's not the worst idea in the world to get them down there, play some playoff games. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I would imagine those would be guys that if they were playing in the NHL by that time would be told like, hey, like, you know, probably not going to be contending for anything here. We're just going to send you down there, make you eligible and get that experience to play some games that, you know, are going to matter down the road. It's very clear that Kyle Davidson values that in the development path for a lot of these guys. So, yeah, I would not be shocked if that happens.
Yeah, I'm down. All right, we got two playoff games tonight, fellas. We have the Bruins and Panthers at 6. Panthers up 3-1 in that series. And we've got Vancouver at Edmonton at 8:30. Both those games on ESPN. Is the Florida-Boston series ending tonight?
I think so.
I said the Rangers-Hurricane series ended last night, and it did not. So I'm going to say this game goes to Boston, and the series extends.
Does that mean you're saying it's... it's over and Florida's winning?
Who knows? We'll find out.
I think Florida knows the power of getting a team out as soon as you possibly can.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They did it with the Lightning. They were on the other side against this very Boston team. They were down 3-1 in Boston. I think they're done. They're just, they don't have, Florida just beats your ass and
wears
you out.
Yeah, they're really good, really deep.
Whether they take you out physically, literally, they just wear you down. They don't stop. So I think it's over. Oilers one's interesting. Is Calvert Pickard starting tonight?
Good question.
Did I read that?
What I've seen.
I didn't know if that was a fever dream or if I actually read that this morning.
Yes, he does.
Calvin Pickard.
That is a
first career playoff start tonight.
That is a choice. I don't know. I mean, I know.
I like his quote today. I'm fighting for my life every game. Jesus, Calvin. You're doing it wrong, buddy.
That's sure.
Would you rather hear that from your goalie or nothing matters, we're all going to die one day from your goalie?
I kind of like the second one from a goalie because
can we land somewhere in the middle? That's a choice. I mean, Skinner hasn't been great, but he hasn't been terrible.
I mean,
the Oilers.
What's his goals against percentage?
It's
It's not great.
I know it's because he's not
facing a lot of shots.
But like
Vancouver has definitely lived this series of the quality, not quantity, of variety of shots. But a journeyman AHL backup goalie, you're gonna give him his first career playoff start down 2-1.
It's not good.
I don't know if I make that call. Like, we'll see.
I think
Edmonton wins that game anyway, just because they're in desperation mode. They need to even that series.
Is that a take the over situation?
I would say so.
But I would.
What is the over now? Probably 8.
I don't know. Depends on how good the goalposts do tonight.
I mean, yeah.
it's usually not good goaltending.
Usually hockey over unders are either 5.5 or 6.5.
I mean, this one's got to be at least 6.5 over in sports.
Yeah, Stuart Skinner in the playoffs, 3.22 goals against, .877.
It's not
save
great.
Percentage. I think he has a sub 80 save percentage in the series.
Yeah,
not good.
It's not great. I still don't know if it's bad enough for me to give Pickard a chance, but there, it's not my choice to make. We talk about the other two series real quick. Carolina, another big win. Carolina has been the best team in this series all five games.
Yeah.
Are the Rangers about to make a monumental collapse here? I mean, they've been outplayed all five games.
I don't know.
The pressure's now on the Rangers, that's for sure.
That's true.
Sure.
Game 6 in Carolina. I think that place is going to be up for grabs. Carolina forces a game 7. That's going to be fun.
Oh, hell yeah. Give me all the game 7s you can.
I still 100%. Think whoever, whether the Rangers win game 6 or 7 or the Hurricanes make this unbelievable comeback, I think they're just going to be fodder for the Panthers in the conference final.
I mean, that's how it feels that way too.
It's really looking like it's going to be Panthers Stars in the final.
Dallas looks really good. They beat the hell out of the Avalanche.
Avalanche are in trouble. And it was funny.
And they also just lost one of their best players.
Yeah, the Valanichkushin, he's forced into the wellness program. It seems this way.
Yeah, he's suspended without pay. It means it's not a. Hey, I think I should do this. It's you're doing this.
Yeah, it's not great. It's the second straight year he's had an issue in the playoffs.
Sad.
I hope he gets. You know, obviously, as someone who has battled addiction and knocking on wood, have still fought it off here for at least one more day. You know, I just hope he gets the help he needs. When that story broke yesterday, I expected it, but I was also disappointed in the amount of people's first reactions of, oh, great, you know, great timing, blah, blah, blah. Now the Avs, you know, they're worried about the Avs. They're worried about getting out of his contract. If that's your first reaction when a guy is obviously battling addiction issues, think bigger picture.
Yeah, it's
think about the human being.
With
and
that.
Yes,
yeah,
he'll get to a point where he realizes he's let his team down, and feel awful about that, but you have to have clarity before you can even think about that. He needs to get to that point. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of, if things go right and he gets to recover, there'll be a lot of time for, you know, looking inwards and admitting
things.
It is. But that's a daily process. So I just hope he gets the help he needs and is able to live a long, healthy life and beat whatever his addiction is. But the Avs are in serious trouble. It was just funny because after we talked after game two, and I said, man, even though it's 1-1, if I'm the Stars, I'd be a little worried right now. Well, I'm not worried right now if I'm the Stars anymore. That, you know, Devin Taves missed last night's game of an illness. Can you ever remember a Stanley Cup playoff with so many guys missing games with illnesses?
Yeah, it's weird.
Or is that like the new code word for
concussion? It could be. So they know what to tell so Connor McDavid doesn't slash it.
Because like the description of
got an illness in my ankle.
Yeah. The postseason description of what happened with Austin Matthews was so bizarre. Did you see that? Where Brad Treliving was like, he had head injury issues. That's called a concussion.
Buddy. That's
just
right.
Say it.
It's called a concussion, yeah.
He had a concussion. So, yeah, I think Dallas is all but moving on. But, man, you know, both conference finals should be good, and we maybe should discuss off-air going out and watching one of those games.
Ooh, I like that idea. We can do that.
We should do it.
A little bit of a watch party action?
Yeah, once we get the schedules for those series, I'll pick a night that works for everybody.
100%. Out there. Maybe we'll go to Salerno's.
I think so.
Try the wings.
Ooh, yeah. Sounds good.
You can do that. It sounds like a lot of fun. You know what else sounds like fun? Talking to Cam Robinson on Thursday and Brendan Perlini on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to do this week.
We should do that.
We're going to be back tomorrow at 2:30 on Wednesday, as we always are. But Thursday, Cam Robinson. So more draft preview. Friday, Brendan Perlini, some hockey stories, catching up with him. He's got a new YouTube page where he's shared some really cool stuff so far, and we'll get more of that from him. So it'll be interesting to hear about his journey and his time in Chicago and all that stuff. So we look forward to that. In the meantime, before you go, please smash that like button for us. We are under 100 likes, which is weird. That's not right. Please make sure you smash that like button for us and subscribe to the YouTube page as well. And if you're listening on the good old-fashioned podcast apps, we love you as well. Make sure you are following. Make sure you have those notifications turned on. And please take 30 seconds to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Again, as long as it's 5 stars, you could talk all the crap you want about us in the comments. Just say 5 stars. They could use more of this, or this guy smells, or whatever it might be. It's probably me that smells.
Can you tell that through a video?
You got the stink lines and everything. The 5-star review is what matters. So please do that for us. We would really appreciate that. And we're going to wrap things up. So we'll be back tomorrow at 2:30, regular show. Then Thursday with Cam, Friday with Perlini. It's going to be a fun week. Stick with us. Make sure you're subscribed to CHGO Blackhawks Podcast. Like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.